Life is full of changes. I want you to think just for a second about the changes that have occurred in your life in the past 5 years, past 10 years, past 15 years. Don't go much beyond that. If you're like me, you can't remember much beyond 15 years anyway. But think about all that's changed in your life the past few years. We've all gotten older. Some of us have lost loved ones. They've gone before us into heaven. Kids have gotten married and moved out, praise the Lord, and brought grandchildren into the picture. Praise the Lord doubly for that. We've changed jobs or retired. We've changed. Some people have moved and changed where they lived. Our health has changed. Life is just full of change after change. And you might ask the reason, why does God allow so much change to come into our life? And one of the reasons is that so that we'll continue to depend on Him. In Psalm 55, verse 19, the Bible says, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. If everything stayed the same, if nothing changed, we'd soon forget that we need God. It's usually in the changes of life that we realize how much we need Him. But I'm glad that even though things change in our life, that our God never changes. We read from Psalm 102 where the psalmist says, earth and heaven will change, and God, you will change them like we change clothes. But thou art the same. And again, life changes. Family changes, friends change, circumstances change. But God never changes. Malachi 3:6, the Bible says, for I am the Lord. I change not. I change not. When we look back over the past few years in our life, all of us could list hundreds of changes that have occurred. I've got news for you this morning. It ain't over yet. There's more change to come. Tomorrow will be different than today. Next week will be different than this week. Next month will be different than this month. Next year will be different than this year. And so life continues. But the good news is, tomorrow God will not change. He will be the same. Next week, God will not change. He will be the same. Next month, God will not change. He will be the same. And next year, God will not change. Our God will be the same. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I studied that verse one time. I looked at the Greek. And here's how to think about it. You know, in a fluorescent light bulb, every now and then it quivers. It just sort of quivers. What that verse says is that our God never quivers. He never changes in any way at all. The Bible says that His word will not change. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So God will not change. His word will not change. The Holy Spirit will not change. He's always been the same. From the time that He moved over the face of the waters when God was creating the earth until today, the Holy Spirit has remained the same, and Jesus Christ has not changed. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, here's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Sometimes we sing that little chorus. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. I have a real simple message this morning. I want you to listen. I want to remind you of four things about Jesus that never change. Number one, His mission will never change. He came into the world to save sinners. When the angel was talking to Joseph, convincing him to go ahead and wed Mary, even though she was with child, the angel said to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." His mission has not changed. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I read the other day about a new TV show they're coming out with. This is one I may watch. They're going to take people and they're going to take them to, they're not going to tell them where they're taking them. They're going to take them to some part of the world. It's a reality TV show. And they're going to see how long it takes them to get home. They're not going to know where they are. They're not going to know where they're starting from. But they're going to have to discover on their own how to get home. Now, I've read stories. I don't know how people will do. I've read stories that dogs can do that. That if you take a dog and you're trying to get rid of a dog and you take him somewhere and leave him somewhere, that eventually he'll make his way back home. He'll find his way back home. And there are certain animals that can do that, but there are certain animals that can't. One of the animals that can't is sheep. Sheep are dumb animals. If they go away from home, they will be lost forever. And that's what the Bible compares us to, sheep. We are like lost sheep. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." We've done what we've wanted to do, and we've wandered away from home. And on our own, there's no way we're going to get back home. That's why the good shepherd left the glory of heaven. That's why he came and took the form of a man. That's why he lived among us, to seek and to save that which was lost. Because there's no way on our own that we'd get back to God. There's some churches today that are changing the mission. They say our mission should be to educate people, to tell them how to socialize and get along in this world. Well, I'd like to say to all of them, and so they have quit preaching the gospel, and they have quit giving invitation. They've missed the point. They've forgotten what the mission of Jesus Christ is that will never change. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And every church needs to be about the business that Jesus was about, preaching the gospel, pointing people to Jesus Christ, inviting them to come to the Savior. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." His mission will not change. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Number two, his motive will not change. He didn't come to seek and to save us because we deserve it. He didn't come to seek and to save us because we were the brightest or the most beautiful or had the best personality. That's not why he came to seek and to save. He came to seek and to save us because he loves us. Because he loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth or proved his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The love of family may change. The love of friends may change. The love of a husband or wife may change. But the love of God, the love that God has for sinners, the love that God has for us will never change. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Jesus said in John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you." The love of God will never expire. The love of God will never dry up. It excites me to think sometimes that before the foundation of the world, God knew that I was going to exist as an individual. God loved me enough to devise a plan to save me from my sin. I want to tell you this morning, the love of God, the love of Jesus for sinners will never change. Amen. Number three, his message will not change. It's a message that God devised before he laid the foundation of the world. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye are saved, by which also ye are saved. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Here's the gospel. We're sinners. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. Nothing in us would drive us back to God. Nothing in us would get us back to God. And because God loved us so much, he sent his son to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. That's me. That was me. That was you. I was the one that was lost. I was the one that needed a savior to come looking for me. You were the one that needed a seeking savior to come and look for you. He came to seek and to save. He lived among us. The Bible says he lived a perfect life. And then he allowed mankind to take him to a cross, hang him on a cross. And as he was hanging on the cross, God laid on his only perfect, sinless son every one of my sins. I like that song as well, with my soul. My sin, not in part, but in whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. And the same is true of every Christian here this morning. God put on his son every one of your sins. He nailed them to the cross, and when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the sin debt that we owe. That's the gospel. The gospel says that if we ask him, if we confess him, if we receive what he's done for us on Calvary, he will surely save us. That's the message. Again, a message devised before the foundation of the world was laid. Jesus, as he's described, he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That message will not change. It was the same message that the apostles preached to those in Jerusalem as they started the new church in Jerusalem. It was the same message that the apostle Paul took to the Gentile world. It's the same message that missionaries had shared the world over. It's the message that my grandma told me about that led me to Jesus Christ. It's the message that's been preached from this pulpit over and over and over and over. You're a sinner. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And if you ask him, he'll save you. The message will not change. And then number four, his method will not change. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said this, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's Jesus' method for reaching others. He said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, in his final charge to his disciples, and that final charge was given to those men that spent 3.5 years with him. They were gathered around on that hillside. He was about to ascend into heaven. He was about to go back to heaven to begin preparations for us. And he said to those disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the charge that you and I have this morning as Christians. That's the instructions that we have from our Lord and Savior. Go into all the world, starting with the person that lives next door to you, starting with the person that works with you, starting with the person that goes to school with you, starting with your family, starting with those that are under your sphere of influence. Preach the gospel. Say, preacher, I thought that was preacher's job. No, that's everybody's job. Amen. That's everybody's job. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know how. I've not been trained to do it. Let me ask you a simple question. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you do, then you know how to tell somebody else to get saved. You just tell them what you did. Hey, how'd you get saved? You tell them that. You got saved by admitting you were a sinner and understanding there was a penalty for that sin and Jesus paid it. And you trusted him. That's his method. It will not change. I'm glad we have a God that doesn't change. I've used this story before, and I'll close with it. You know, I was a big Monopoly player when I was a kid. It irks me now that my little 7-year-old grandson can beat me, but I'm going to get over it. But I used to play with my cousin, and my cousin liked to change the rules. If she was losing, she would just make up new rules and say, "We're playing by a new rule this morning." And we would fuss and we would argue, and it was just chaos. Chaos. Can you imagine what it would be like if God changed the rules? If God just woke up one morning, he doesn't slumber or sleep, so he can't wake up, but if he just went one day in eternity, says, "I'm going to change everything. I'm going to make it. We're going to make it a different way for people to get saved. We're going to make it a different way for people to get right with me." What chaos! What chaos it would be! I'm glad we have a God that never changes. Never changes. I'm glad the same gospel that took up the thief that hung on the cross next to Jesus Christ, the same gospel that took him to heaven, is going to take me to heaven. And will take you to heaven if you do the same thing that he did, the same thing that I did. Ask Jesus to save you. Ask him to save you. Call unto me, come unto me, and I'll no wise cast you out, he says. Would you come this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, he's not going to change. The way to get to heaven is not going to change. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." It's not going to change. It's the only hope you have. Would you come? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that it never, ever changes. It's always been and will always be. Only one way to heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for those that might be here this morning that have never received him, never asked him to be their Savior. We've tried to tell them the story of Jesus this morning, as the choir sang when we started. It's a story that we love to hear. We never get tired of hearing it. But for those who have never heard and have heard it perhaps for the first time this morning, I pray they'd understand how real it is and how precious it is, and that they would come to the Savior this morning. I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray, as we've heard the story again of the Savior's love for us, it would cause us to love him more and to want to serve him more. So please bless this invitation. Father, speak to hearts this morning and just work in our hearts and help us to be obedient, to do what you tell us to do. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.